You know, Charles, one thing I don't miss about working in a traditional office setting is hearing the words, "Can I see you in my office?"
You and me both, Nat. It's like that feeling when you're a little kid and your mom walks into the kitchen and catches you trying to steal a cookie.
But you know, I became a manager fairly recently, and I now understand why that was even a thing. Like, it's so much easier to have hard conversations with employees face-to-face instead of over a Slack message or video call.
Oh yeah. Though I'd bet the words, "Can we jump on a Google Meet?" from your boss might give you a similar level of anxiety.
100%. But I'm also thinking a lot about how, in a remote work setting, performance management is such a hard thing to do effectively.
Well, let's dive into that. But first, hello and welcome back to A Startup's Guide to Remote Talent. My name is Charles Ferguson and I'm the APAC General Manager at GP. And my co-host is Tech in Asia Studios Managing Editor, Nathaniel Fotovero. In this podcast mini-series, Nat and I explore the new age of hiring and how businesses of today and tomorrow can navigate the talent economy of the future. And today, we're going to talk about managing remote teams effectively.
And I'm guessing you've very coincidentally spoken to someone recently about this topic.
Well, you're guessing right. Meet Allison Eyring, founder and CEO of Singapore-headquartered SaaS company, Prodigy.
Well, let's see. Today, I am the founder and CEO of Prodigy. Prodigy is a SaaS company that I founded. I spun it out in July of 2021 from another company that I founded and then led for over 20 years.
Awesome.
So it's been a big, long journey. I live in Singapore, so I've been here since 1999.
Outstanding. We've been here about the same amount of time. I moved here in 97, so we've seen a lot of change on this little red dot.
So much change.
And what's interesting about Allison is both Prodigy and the company that she spun out from both adopted fully remote working environments.
Wow. So that makes her something of a pioneer.
Total pioneer. But that also means that some 20 years ago, she was already dealing with the challenges businesses today are facing when it comes to all these questions around managing remote teams.
So as a consulting firm, and we had 200 coaches, assessors, leadership development experts, we would work with mostly very large companies, helping them build high team performance, expand geographies, deploy new growth strategies. And and a big problem that we were often dealing with was, well, how do you expand across borders? How do you manage across borders? How do you manage people who are very different? That was, in fact, for 10 years, we ran a consortium of companies that was the problem they were trying to solve. So we learned a lot about that.
Right. But it'd be remiss of us not to acknowledge the fact that the talent economy 20 years ago versus the one today are worlds apart.
Oh, yeah. But the difference is that it's getting easier.
It's so different. It's so much easier now. Oh my gosh. We didn't have any, the only tool we had was phone. We didn't have VCs then.
No.
I mean, this is like, sounds like ancient history, but
I remember, man.
A phone. We had phone conference calls.
Yeah, we had con calls.
So we had con calls. And yeah, we did. We called into the bridge. So we had that and that was it. And we had emails. So now the tools are just so more flexible. The other thing is now the world is so much more cosmopolitan, right? Because you, so many more people have a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle that's from another country, or they go on holidays to other places. Yeah. So we're, as humans, more, I think, generally more accustomed to interacting with people that are different. And I think that has changed over time. Mm. And I mean, just in Singapore. So Singaporeans have grown and evolved so much over the last 30 years. So many people live overseas now. 30 years ago, that was so unusual, right? So I do think that there's mindsets that are different. Technology's changed and made it easier. And lots of people have done it. So we can, you can just Google what are some good practices and, you get lots of resources. So I think that in those days, we were just making it up. We didn't know what we were doing. There was no manual.
But of course, there's the flip side where all this technology can actually be a bit of a headache.
We used to have had a board game that we created to help people make the better choices in which type of technology to use in what situation.
No way.
Because it's a huge issue. For instance, some technology like email. Email is the least trusted source of information, and yet it's so overused. So if you have any kind of issue that's at all sensitive or could cause somebody to be embarrassed, don't send an email. And don't copy everybody. Like, that's the worst thing you can do.
That's definitely
you start
true.
Doing that, man, you just destroyed trust so fast, right? Mm. On the other hand, you know, you have other kinds of technologies like a VC or, you know, you've got some magnificent technology where you almost feel like you're in the same room.
Yeah.
They use a lot of bandwidth. They're a lot more expensive. Mm. So if you're going to use that type of a solution, make sure it's worth your while. Right. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes y'all see teams, they fly all around the world and they sit in a room and frankly, they're doing what they could have done remotely. And I'm like, what are you thinking? You're damaging the environment. You're messing up your bodies. You could have done it remotely. So when you are face to face, do face to face things. Build your connections with each other. Build trust with each other. Get clarity of direction. So I think it's about the right tool for the right problem. And when you only have one tool, it solves every problem. Whereas today, you got a zillion tools. So you got to decide what's in your toolbox.
Right. But those points aside, people's attitudes towards work have changed over the decades as well. I mean, for one, there's all these buzzwords coining phenomena like quiet quitting or the great resignation that are plastered all over the web on articles discussing the changes in the working world.
Well, of course, and that's something that Allison is acutely aware of.
It's really interesting, the conversation about the quiet quitting,
things like that.
Because, you know, if you look at turnover data, it's been on the rise for a decade. This is not a new phenomenon.
Totally.
And if you look at engagement survey, I mean, oh my gosh, we've been doing engagement surveys for like decades and decades. And no matter how much money people spend on those engagement surveys, engagement as measured is going down.
Right.
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 So there's clearly issues. And I personally think a lot of it is about leadership.
Yeah.
And when I say leadership, leadership is, it's action, it's not position. Mm-hmm. And it's about driving collective effort to succeed. And I think too many organizations are focused on so many things that they really aren't, they've kind of lost focus on what is the leadership that we need in order to achieve our aspirations as a business. And the reality is you're never going to achieve your aspirations as a business if your people aren't on the journey with you.
That's so true. And do you think that it's indeed the case that a lot of businesses are not really focusing on the right things as it relates to cultivating leadership from within the organization? I mean, it's sort of a rhetorical question, but I'm curious about your opinion or your perspective on this dearth of leadership and where it's really coming from.
I think there's a mindset issue and there's an industry issue. Mm. And I think that the mindset issue is that many organizations think, oh, leadership, that's those people at the top, right?
Those
and then all those others, you know,
yeah.
they're just those lowly managers.
Yeah, yeah,
well, those
yeah.
managers are really important.
Totally.
They shape the experience of people in the organization every single day. Mm. So I think that there's a huge problem that organizations have continuously rising expectations of their managers, and they don't have continuously rising resources to enable them. I think that's an internal problem. The industry problem is it's just too expensive. You know, if you're an organization, and again, you know, if you're the largest company in the world, you've got armies of people that are helping solve these problems. If you're a mid-sized company or a smaller company, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's very, very difficult. You know, maybe once a year you get somebody that helps your leadership team get focused and aligned around the strategy and how they're going to deploy it. And then those people go away because it's too expensive to sustain the support. What I know from my own history of working with other organizations is this is very painful for many organizations, and partly because a lot of managers can manage presence but not performance.
Oh, that's a great line. That's quite telling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult. How do you know if someone's struggling? How do you know when they're disengaged? Mm. It's very difficult to learn and to understand. So I think when you manage remotely, you have to do a lot of things differently. And you have to not try to just manage the way you know how to manage when you're face to face.
Sure.
So I think that that's hard for people. And people are stretched and they're busy. And so that requires extra energy. And that's tough for people to do.
I mean, just personally, I really relate to that. It is tough to know how your team feels when they're just avatars in a Slack channel.
100%. It can even be more challenging if your team is spread out across continents because, well, people from different backgrounds are sometimes just plain different. But that can easily be an advantage as much as it is a challenge.
What we know, both from a research perspective and just, you know, practically, is the more differences you have, the more challenging it can become.
Sure.
Right? But on the other hand, the more differences you have, the more opportunities you have delight in those differences, right?
In theory, the better team. You are, right? Yeah, exactly.
You know, research shows that when you have a highly diverse team, if it's well managed, it'll outperform a homogenous team, a less diverse team. But if it's not well managed, you're really out of luck because it's way worse. So that's really, it's a liability and it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And so it really is the response. That's why it's so important to enable managers to be great at understanding, you know, how do they create psychological safety? How do they include people who are different? How do they help people feel that they belong? How do they help set up teams that have effective norms? How do they build trust? Those are all things that are very, very important in a distributed environment.
And all that really just underlines the importance of good management.
For sure. So I asked Allison for some pearls of wisdom that we and our listeners could take away to try and get better at managing remote teams. And this is what she had to say.
Well, I would still come back to a very old-fashioned idea, which is that having shared goals are really important. So whatever
that's
you
cool.
do,
that's
whether you're co-located or in different locations, that's really important.
Yeah.
I think the other one is take time to define what right looks like. And the problem is that we're often in such a hurry to go and deploy or to execute that we don't take time to have conversations about, well, what do we think it's going to look like when we implement this? Or what do we think it, what's is right? And that's so my, so have really clear shared goals, have a shared view and take time to define what right looks like. And then always always find that balance between the sort of the align and focus with the enable and empower.
That reminds me of your conversation with Imran from Kyber Network in episode 1 about how empowered workers can lead to innovation.
Yeah, and it still holds true. But a culture in which everyone is just trying something new and cool and flashy can very easily turn into one where nobody is achieving any sort of business objectives, which is exactly what Allison is talking about. You want to encourage an innovative mindset, but you also need to make sure that everyone knows what they need to do for the business to succeed at the bare minimum and why.
Okay, so leverage technology to engage employees, but make sure it's the right technology for the right situation. Empower managers across the business to be able to look after and drive their teams, have clear communication of the overarching business goals and what success looks like, and ensure that innovating on new and exciting projects doesn't get in the way of what the business and the employees need to focus on to succeed.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Well, I've got one more last question, though. With all this talk about having teams across countries and continents, how can business leaders make sure they're not crossing any lines when it comes to labor laws and regulations? I mean, there are just way too many policies from way too many countries for one person to keep track of.
Well, stay tuned in the next episode to find out.
Not another cliffhanger again.
Hey man, at least I'm consistent. So to all of our faithful listeners, thanks for listening to this episode of A Startup's Guide to Remote Talent, a Tech in Asia podcast produced in partnership with GP. Make sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you can catch the final episode, as well as all of our past episodes, where we'll be capping this conversation on everything you need to know about the future of the remote talent economy. And if you're on an app that lets you, go ahead and give us 5 stars in the review. It really helps us out.
Also, special thanks to Prodigy's Allison Eyring for sharing her tips and thoughts with us on this episode. We'll put the links to her LinkedIn profile in the show notes if you want to get in touch with her.
That's right. And if you're a business owner or a business leader and you need or want some assistance in figuring out your remote talent strategy, visit GP's website at www.g-p.com, and we'll be sure to help you out. I've been Charles.
And I'm Ned. We'll catch you next time.